Good evening. Welcome to our evening service. We pray that you've had a great day in the Lord today. Tonight we're going to get back to talking some more about Elijah in just a moment. But before we begin tonight, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given unto us. For the glory of the sunshine that surrounds us, for the glory of your Spirit that indwells us. Lord God, we pray for your mercy and your grace to abound unto us mightily. May the will of the Lord be done both now and forevermore in each one of our lives. And Lord, as we come tonight, as Brother Marty comes in just a moment to sing, Father, would you use his song to set our hearts and prepare us to hear your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Brother Marty?
Because he lives,
Thank you, Marty. Our God is a great God, and He is an awesome God. Let me ask you to take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and begin turning to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, as we begin their 17th chapter, excuse me. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 16 in this chapter. And then we'll be talking about the challenge of physical impossibility. There are some things in life that do challenge us. There are some things that are impossible. But I want you to know that with Almighty God, all things are possible. You have your Bible open to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And I'm going to begin in verse 8, and we'll read down through verse 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Friends, let's begin our time tonight by thinking about the challenge of physical impossibility, because for certain it's something that we're all going to face at one time or another in our lives, and when it happens to us, we're going to be faced with a choice. Either we're going to respond in faith or we're going to fold our tents and give up. Which side of that coin do you want to be on? I want to share this story with you. It's a true story. It's about my life. You see, years ago when I was still training horses, I was faced with a situation of physical impossibility in a very unique way. I had left the horse show grounds very late at night to make the long trip home to my lovely wife, and the trailer was filled with horses and equipment that we had taken along. And what I had failed to realize was that the truck had very little diesel fuel left, only about a quarter of a tank. And so, you know, naturally I thought I'll just stop and get diesel at the nearest station, thinking that surely there would be a station within reach that had diesel fuel. The reality is, simply put, I had failed to, on the way to the showgrounds, to note where the diesel stations were located. Since back in that day, not every station off the major highway or expressway had diesel fuel. And so it was a little before midnight when I left home, when I left for home, and I had about a six-hour drive ahead of me, and I was thinking that I was going to get home and surprise my wife for breakfast. But as I was driving down that road, I watched that diesel gauge go ever so quickly toward E. Now, I'm sure you all know that when your car hits E or your truck hits E, it means you aren't going to go much farther. And in some vehicles, though, there is a possibility of driving on E, but sooner or later, let's face it, you drive on E, your luck is going to run out. And I'm usually pretty cool in stressful situations, but the last thing you want to do in the middle of the night is to be stranded by the side of the road with a trailer full of horses and a trailer full of equipment. And so as that gauge hit E, I can assure you that my prayer life became very intense. I had about 150 miles to go to even get back to the main highway. And every little diesel station, gas station that I passed along that way, it was closed. And I didn't know what I was going to do if that truck ran out of fuel. And so I began to pray, "Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, please don't let this truck run out of fuel. Oh, Lord, please show me a station that has diesel fuel so that I can get some. Lord, forgive me for not having this truck filled before I started out." And then I really began to get spiritual. I said, "Oh, Lord, do you remember back in the day when you made a donkey speak to Balaam? Please, Lord, will you go to work on behalf of this old donkey sitting here behind this wheel? And tonight, have you ever noticed there are times in your life when God is going to test your faith?" And friends, for me, this is one of those times. I said, "Lord, do you remember back in the Word? Lord, do you remember that story about Elijah? Do you remember when you told Elijah to tell the widow that her oil and her flour would not run out? Lord, I need you. I need you right now to make that happen for my truck with my diesel tonight. Do not allow it to run out." And that gauge continued to plunge, and it was well past E. In fact, as I looked at it driving down the road, E was so far up on the dial, it looked like it was full. The challenge of physical impossibility. We all know that cars and trucks cannot run without fuel. And yet my truck and trailer ran for 150 miles back to the expressway, and I found a diesel station that was open. And I've got to tell you, the Lord and I got real close that night. Oh, I promised Him everything if He would just keep that truck running. In fact, the longer the truck ran, the more I started to giggle, the more I started to get tickled about it. I kept thinking to myself, this is impossible, and no one is ever going to believe it, let alone understand it. But here I am, I'm running on Holy Spirit power because this truck is bone dry. That gauge is so far down below E, as I said, that E looked like the full mark. And that night I learned something. And here's what I learned, that nothing is impossible for God. And I want you to hold on to that, friend. There is nothing that is impossible for God. And I got to admit, as I started to pull into that station, I was half tempted to try and make it all the way home just to see if I could go all that way. But I guess like Peter. You know, Peter got out of the boat and he got on the water. He was walking on water, but then he began to look at the waves. So I guess I was a little bit like Peter. I stopped and I got the necessary fuel. Now when we last left Elijah, he'd been sent by God to the brook Cherith. You'll remember that. And it was there that God had sent him to teach him the lessons that are necessary for the harsh realities of leadership. You know, it's not easy to be a leader. And if you're a leader, you ought to know that. It's not easy. Never was meant to be easy. But you know something more? It's not easy to be a Christian in this world we're living in today. And every Christian ought to be a leader in some kind of way. And so Elijah needed to go to the brook Cherith to learn some valuable lessons about leadership and some harsh realities about leadership as well. You see, Elijah was there to learn how to deal with loneliness and to deal with rejection. He was there to learn how to face a nation alone with no one else around him but God. He was there to learn how to deal with the feelings that come when you think no one cares whether you live or die but God. He was there to learn how to be apart from others so that when he was back among others, he would have learned how to listen to only one voice, God's voice. Let me ask you a question. How do you do when it comes to that in your own lives? Whose voice is more important? Is it the voice of the crowd or the voice of God? I pray it's the voice of God. You know, the names of people and the names of places in Scripture are not named haphazardly. They have a purpose, and their purpose is to teach. And the name Cherith means to cut off and to cut down. And so at that brook, when we begin to think about this in a deeper fashion, Elijah was cut off from active service. He was also cut off from harm as well. Jezebel, if you'll remember, was literally cutting off God's prophets. She was having them killed in a murderous rage. You can read all about that in 1 Kings 18:4. God had Elijah cut off from her murderous reach. And when the brook dried up, God sent Elijah to Zarephath. Have you ever wondered why there? Have you ever just wondered, why? Why Zarephath, God? Well, Zarephath was located in Phoenicia. It was the very heart of Baalism. Commentator Paul House put it this way: here, Yahweh, Almighty God, will defeat Baal on his own territory. Here, God's people will fare better than Baal's people. In fact, F.C. Fenchem asserts the main purpose of their narrative is to demonstrate on Phoenician soil, where Baal is worshipped, that God has power over things in which Baal has failed. Since Baal worshippers explained the drought as a sign that their god Baal was dead, he could not help the widow and her son. And in the absence of Baal, who lies impotent in the netherworld, God steps in to assist the widow and her son. Family and friends, this passage of Scripture, these eight verses, teach God possesses a power Jezebel and her false prophets do not. Beyond that, do you realize that Zarephath was located in Jezebel's home country? Remember, after Elijah had declared to them that it would not rain, Jezebel sent her husband Ahab searching the nation for him, and she not just one nation, friend, it was nation after nation searching for Elijah so she could put him to death. In a twist of irony, the Lord sends Elijah to the one place Ahab and Jezebel would never think to look: Zarephath. Think about this for a moment. Would you be looking for God's prophet in Baal's territory? Would the true prophet, would you seek the true prophet of God in a territory of false religion? Beyond that, the king and queen weren't going to pay much attention to a desperate widow, because back in that day, widows were among the most insignificant faces in the crowd. And God always has a purpose for where of sending us where he sends us. God had a purpose for sending Elijah to Kerith, and now God has a purpose for sending Elijah to Zarephath. And I want you to note, in both instances, Elijah did not question God. He just obeyed. You know, it seems to me in our world today, when God says something, a lot of people begin to question God. Oh, God, you certainly couldn't mean that. No, you can't be you speaking, God. God, you wouldn't ask me to do such and such a thing. But Elijah never questioned God. When God spoke, Elijah listened. Friend, he's a classic example for us of what it means to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving our own selves. You see, too many people in the world today, they question God. Elijah, he just obeyed. So in that, he's an example for us. He's an example of what we ought to do. Too often we question instead of just responding in obedience to his leading. Family and friends, I want you to know something tonight. It is not important to know where we're going or how it is going to turn out when we get there. And I realize and I understand that's hard for most folks to do. I mean, I know when we go on vacation, my wife has an itinerary. She wants to know every place we're going to stop. But me, I'm just, let's get in the car and go and see where we land. But when it comes to God, we need to be like that. We need to just do what God says. But we're living in a world today that wants to know the whys to everything. But friend, God never promised us answers to our whys. We do not live on explanations. We live on his promises. We've got to trust that God knows what's best for us. Now, you know I said that right, so while you're there at home, just say amen. So when God says we're to do such and such a thing, we need to have the faith to respond as Elijah does to God's commands. Listen to me, boot camp for Elijah was the brook Kereth. It was there that he was learned He was sent to learn to listen to God. But his advanced training, if you will, is going to take place at Zarephath. And there is a reason for this. Zarephath meant smelting place. Could it be that God sent Elijah to the very place where the idols of Baal were smelted and manufactured? The root word for Zarephath, Seraph, means to smelt, to refine, to test. This word is also the root word for goldsmith, silversmith, and crucible. And do you realize that over in the book of 1 Peter, we are told these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. This is what Peter wrote, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Now listen, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Friend, every one of our faith needs to be refined. And we learn that here. Elijah's faith, it needed to be refined. He's a wonderful prophet of God, but Elijah's faith would be refined by his experiences at Zarephath, just as our faith is to be refined by our own experiences. I want you to take a closer look with me at God's directives here. Look again at verses 8 and 9. He says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." Elijah didn't know what was going to happen after the brook Kereth dried up, just as we don't know what the next 5 minutes of our lives are going to hold. But God does. God knows everything, friends. He knows the very hairs upon our head. He has our best at heart. He has your best at heart. God knows what's best for you. Do you truly understand that? Do you really grasp that? You know, here's something to think about. If we made God's will our will, we'd have our will. We'd have our way. But we need to make God's will in our way. And so when we begin to think about these things, God makes sure that we're provided for. And in this current pandemic, you may be in a situation where things are running low, where you don't know whether you're going to be paid or what's going to take place. You may be fretting. You may be worrying. Friend, I want to assure you, God knows. And if you're one of God's child, He's not going to let you suffer beyond what you are able. God promises to supply all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, a good example of that is the birds of the air. God feeds them. They don't, you know, I watch them as they come to our feeders. Well, God takes care of them. And we need to rest assured that God will take care of us. God will provide for us. And you need to remember that. Now, I know for you and I that Zarephath doesn't sound like such a wonderful place. Besides, why do we, as God's training, always seem to need advanced training? Well, friend, we haven't arrived home in heaven yet, have we? So as long as we're in this life, there's always going to be this need in our life to keep growing in our relationship with God. We're always going to be in training. Well, let me see if I can shed a little light tonight on why we read the reasons why we need advanced training. And the first reason we need it is because God doesn't want us to be spiritual babies. Listen, babies cannot accomplish as much as mature adults. So God expects you and I to grow spiritually, and we do that through Sunday school. That's what Sunday school and prayer meetings are all about, growth. In fact, in 2 Peter 3:18, God commands us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now consider who God had appointed to care for Elijah, a widow. Friend, it probably would have been easier for Elijah if God had appointed him to take care of the widow, but it's she taking care of him? Here is a woman who is left to fend for herself, since from the biblical record we detect an absence of family on both her and her late husband's side. She has no family but this one son, and yet she is a woman of some substance because she has a house, and she's been prosperous enough to have a wooden room atop the flat roof of that house where Elijah's going to stay. But here before us is a woman who is no breadwinner. She has no status in this community whatsoever. That was often the case for widows. So it would have been possible for her to be exploited, to be mistreated without redress. And on the other side of this, we have a man, Elijah, a man strong enough to go in and confront a king and a queen who must now humble himself by allowing this bereaved, starving woman to take care of him. And as you look at this here in this chapter, have you ever wondered how Elijah even knew which widow woman to approach? Friend, it couldn't just be any widow woman. It had to be a woman, a widow woman, who had to have openness to true faith. Because it was going to take faith on her part to believe what Elijah was going to share with her, especially. And when we think about that, we live in a society that's always looking out for number one. The idea of giving something when we have so little usually doesn't resonate among most people. And so Elijah was not only going to have to meet the right widow woman, he was also going to have to give her a little test to be sure she was the right widow woman. And so he says here, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Who's going to be providing for Elijah? A widow woman who has lost all hope. Let that sink in for a moment. She's lost complete hope. So much so that she is out gathering sticks to prepare a last meal for her and her son. Let's be honest tonight. If we're in Elijah's sandals, we'd probably be facing the challenge of first impressions. "You've got to be kidding me, Lord." You'd probably want to turn right around and go back to Kerath. That dry brook would have looked more promising to us than this. Would we have looked for another hiding place? Perhaps we would have begun to argue with the Lord. Perhaps we would have thought, "Oh God, surely you sent me to the wrong widow. It cannot be her. She barely got enough to take care of herself. She's hopeless, Lord. You could not mean this one." Here again, Elijah is an example of obedience for us, because he stayed where God sent him. And in so doing, he entered into the challenge of physical impossibility. This woman's eyes, to be fair, were on her handful of flour and her little jar of oil, which was physically impossible to keep two people alive, let alone three. But Elijah's eyes, they're on God. And Elijah knows that nothing is impossible for God. Elijah's not looking for reason, common sense, or any other thing. Elijah is just looking to God. Have you yet trusted and exercise God's promise to you and I? "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Elijah wanted this woman to have the faith to put God first. And family and friends, in this time and in this day of this pandemic running across our nation, that is the greatest challenge to you and I today, to keep God first. To not put our eyes on ourselves or on our situation, to not fret and to not worry and to begin to grow disappointed, disenchanted, discouraged, depressed about life. No, no, no. Keep your eyes on Almighty God. Nothing is impossible for Him. And beyond that, you have His promise that our God shall supply all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We've got to have that kind of faith to keep God in His rightful place, and that is on the throne of our heart, first in all that we do. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." How could Elijah say this? Because he knew from personal experience, not some secondhand story, not from some academic theory, Elijah knew from personal experience that God does what He says He will. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, I know a God like that, and I pray you know God like that too. I want you to know how the widow responded. She responded with faith that Elijah was hoping to find in her, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She wasn't disappointed, was she? Not at all, because the Holy Scriptures say, "And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Now, to the ungrateful, the idea of bread and water in the morning and bread and water in the evening may not sound like much. But friend, their needs were met, and they were met miraculously. They had what they needed. And all around them, Baal's people, those people whose eyes were on the false god of Baal or on themselves, did not have what they needed. Don't miss the greater miracle here, though, either. The widow woman became a believer in God. See, she responded in faith to Elisha's little test. And as a result, she met the true and living God in her kitchen. Every single morning and every single evening when she looked into that jar, she found flour. And when she looked into that bottle, she found oil day in and day out. The Bible says for many days. And this experience enabled her to come to know and witness a God who cares for the poor and the vulnerable. Do you know the God who cares for you? I'm certain her mind thought back to the first words Elijah had spoken to her. In fact, I can see that widow woman each morning and evening replaying them in her mind, just what this prophet of God had said. She had met the true prophet of the living God, and without a doubt, more than just her body was nourished, her spiritual soul had all that it would ever need when she met the living Lord. Let's make an application as we close with this message here tonight. It'll benefit us if we think back time and again to Elijah's encounter with the widow woman at Zarephath as we continue to seek to grow spiritually in the Lord. I pray that's your heart's desire. Oh, friend, I hope that you want to grow in the Lord. I hope that you want to know the height, the breadth, the depth, and the length of God's love for you. I hope you're not questioning why, but you're just standing on the promises. I hope you don't look for explanation in your days, but you just stand upon the promises of God. And so one of those things we can learn tonight is, first, God's leading is often surprising. Don't analyze it. If God tells you to go to your Zarephath, then get up and go and don't question it. It doesn't really matter whether you can make sense of it or not. If God leads you to stay there, stay there. Even though it may be very difficult, don't leave there, stay there. Don't rack your brain trying to figure out God's thing. In fact, let me give you something from the book of Isaiah that can help you out tonight when it comes to that. Just trust God. This is what Isaiah said about God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Family and friends, God sees the whole picture. We don't. We don't know what's going to happen in the next moment, but God does. We're only ever aware, even as we look at our lives and the things that have happened, of fragmentary glimpses, but not the whole thing. Right now, we look through the glass darkly, but the time will come when God will open it and we'll see Him face to face. So go. Do what God tells you to do. And if God tells you to stay, like He did with Elijah, you go to your Zarephath and then you stay there. Second, the beginning days are often the hardest. Don't quit. Don't make a judgment based on first impressions, because many times they're wrong. Think about this. What would have happened to the widow if Elijah had given up? When he saw the desperate circumstances that surrounded her, one thing that would have happened is she would have never met the one true and living God if Elijah had given up. And God would have missed the opportunity to bring glory to Himself by lovingly providing for Elisha and the widow. The first days in any new situation, usually the hardest. But it won't be that tough the whole time. So bear with it. Right now in this pandemic, you may be facing a very hard and a very difficult time. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Bear with it. God is on the throne. His promises are sure. His promises are true. And though it may be impossible to my mind and to your mind, it is not impossible for God. God can do anything. And then a third thing we need to remember is God's promises often hinge on obedience. And so don't ignore your part. Elijah was commanded to go and to stay. The widow was told to go and make a little bread of cake first. In each case, obedience preceded God's provision. In this time in which we're living right now, the one thing that I want to implore and urge and encourage you to do is to stay obedient to God. The blessings come when we are obedient to our Father. So remember, do your part. When God promises to provide for you, do your part. And then four, God's provisions are more than enough, and don't fail to thank Him. Biscuits and water aren't exactly a smorgasbord of delights, any more than having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day on a mission trip is. But in each case, they fill hungry stomachs. And in this case, they sustained a hungry widow, her son, and a prophet throughout a severe drought. Have you ever stopped to thank God for the things He has provided you with? And I'd like to encourage you to do that right now, because you're right at home. I'd like your husband to look at your wife, wife to look at your husband, and if you have children, to look at them. You have a roof over your head. You have family. You have all that ever really matters in this life. More importantly, I pray that you have God with you. And I hope that you'll begin to thank Him for all that God has given you, because God has blessed you tremendously. He has blessed us above and beyond our wildest imagination. And so I want to encourage you, thank God for what He has given you. And stop worrying about what you don't have. You realize we spend most of our time fretting over, most people do spend most of their time fretting over the things they do have instead of thanking God for the things they have. And finally, from this passage, we can learn along with Elijah that a grateful heart not only gives appreciation where it is due, but it also enriches the one who possesses it. As I close this message in the midst of this pandemic in these days in which we're living, let me encourage you to remember this. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, make your requests with thanksgiving. Make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This passage of Scripture, these truths from God's holy word, they let us know nothing is impossible for God. You hang on to that in these days ahead. Let that be meat for you. Let it be your encouragement this day. Nothing is impossible for God. We don't need to know the reason why of this pandemic. We don't even need to know the reasons of why we might be going through what we're going through right now. All we need to do is stand upon the promises of God and claim them as our own and trust God. And God, He'll never let you down. Let us pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your word unto us. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, for Your great and abundant promises. Lord, we thank You for the encouragement of this word tonight that helps us to know that what You're seeking from us in this test of faith that many are going through in the midst of these trials is just our obedience. Lord, You're ready to pour out Your many blessings, but Lord, we must be obedient. Oh Lord, I pray tonight that the words that have been shared would encourage every person who hears this to just trust, to be obedient. Lord, I'm reminded of the song that says, just trust and obey. There's no better way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, I pray for those who don't have the security of knowing Jesus, that tonight would be the night that they come and they put their faith and their trust in a loving Savior, and a Savior who can do the impossible. Lord, we don't deserve salvation, but Easter reminds us that You love us unconditionally. You loved us while we were yet Your enemies, and You will save us by Your mercy and grace if we'll just repent of our sin and turn it all over to You. And so, Lord, I pray for that soul who may be listening, who's not yet turned their life to You, that tonight would be that night that they would say yes to Jesus. And I pray for the Christian brother and sister who's struggling there at home, who's been fretting this and fretting that. And Lord, I just pray that this message has helped them to understand the foolishness of such things. You know, Lord, worry and fretting, that's just like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. And I just pray, Lord, that they'd stop that right now. That they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what You did for Elijah and this widow woman, You can do and are more than able and more than willing to do for us if we will but trust. Grow us in our trust. Grow them in Your faith. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged in these days. And Father, we also pray that You would bring an end to this pandemic. Oh Lord, by the mercy of Almighty God and in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that You would take Your mighty hand and You would just sweep the coronavirus off the face of this earth. Oh Lord, help bring about hearts and souls that just yearn for You to overcome the physical impossibilities of life through faith and trust in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.